FCS Football Podcast.
Green Edison!
With Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer.
Welcome back to the Believe in FCS Football Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, hosted by two former FCS football players from the University of Rhode Island. I am Joe DeLeon, joined by my good friend, former teammate, former roommate, Mr. Sean Anderson. Sean on a tight schedule today. We're getting into discussing the semifinals of the FCS bracket. We've got one crazy wild game where Sam Houston crawled all the way back down 27-10, and then the other one was an absolute blowout by the hands of South Dakota State. So, Sean, can you give us a message from our sponsor before we get into recapping these games?
Maybe.
No, you're going to... So you make this whole big deal. I got to get to work. I have a very limited amount of time. I have to get going, and then I try to expedite things. I try to skip over the banter that wastes time, and now we're just
wasting
time.
I can tell you were rushing because you called them the Hens of South Dakota State.
I didn't say the Hens.
Yeah, am I lying?
I didn't say. I'm going to go back and listen. That's a lie.
Anyways,
I didn't say
I'm
that.
I said hands.
I said at the hands of South Dakota State.
I'm so stupid. Hands. Regardless, I'm protesting the NCAA. So I don't know if I should even do this show because of how dirty they did an offensive lineman for no reason. And it's just, we'll get to that when we talk about James Madison and Sam Houston State. It's one of the most atrocious things I've ever seen that could happen to an offensive lineman who's just doing his best. Where we would bet online? Yeah, I see a lot of people walking around, right, Joe? It doesn't look like they're having any fun whatsoever in their life. You're kind of one of them. I talk to you, and you're doing okay, but you're not having that much fun.
I'm doing better.
But I see a lot more people who are just dragging through life. I don't know, work. Oh, boy, what am I going to do? Here's something you could do. If you're listening to this show and you like sports and you're maybe not having that much fun and you're just investing money in things that aren't making you happy, how about you head on to betonline.ag and start putting some money down on some bets. Get some action in your life. Get a little bit of thrill. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It is fun to bet on sports. I'm not that good at it. Joe's even worse. But I have a lot more fun than a lot of people knowing that I have a little bit of action on the game. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Join me and Joe in our quest for fun.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Yep. So we've got these two games. We have to paint the picture for what this weekend is going to be, the national championship, the spring national championship. Probably the only time we will ever see FCS competition, a national champion crowned in May. Now, Sean and I are not going to be there for the event. We were talking about it. We've always been saying on the show that we're going to be there eventually, but circumstantially with work for the both of us, we're just not going to be out there this year. However, the intention is for the next one played in January, we will do whatever we can for at least one of us to be there. Hopefully we both can, Sean. I'm going to put us on the record saying that we will be at the next one. I think that we can plan ahead enough to be at the national championship next January. You think that's fair?
Are you my...
What?
Go ahead. Just make all my decisions for me.
Yeah,
that's
I'm going to make them for you. We cover the FCS. We should go. Understandably, this time...
Go.
We both have a lot on that circumstantially was just not going to work. And we would waste the whole show talking about all the reasons why we couldn't make it out to Frisco in May, but we should be there in January, next January, damn it. And yes, I'm making that decision for you. Because if I don't make that decision for you now, I will be the only one going, and I'll be having a great time with the FCS Fan Nation Radio folks.
Okay, Joe. What are you trying to make me... Are you trying to guilt me with possible friendships within the FCS?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, it's working a little bit, so now I'm going to have to get locked in.
We'll book our flights now.
Don't you book a flight for me.
I will book... Oh, you know what? I'm going to save up the money, and I'm going to book a flight for the both of us, and then you're going to have to pay me back. All right, let's talk about South Dakota State, Delaware. South Dakota State, the Jackrabbits, winning 33-3. This game was not fun to watch. It was very unentertaining, and it sucks that this was the second one of the two semifinal games that were played. It also sucks that one of the CAA teams playing got absolutely smacked. And the only way that we can illustrate how this game got played out is that the Blue Hens were completely smothered on offense. DeJuan Lee, only 11 carries for 9 yards. They could not move the ball. It was depressing to watch as Nolan Henderson would drop back, and they weren't even rushing that many guys. The Jackrabbits were sending like 4 and 5 on most downs. And immediately, so much leakage. He couldn't even, it was barely 2 seconds before he was getting hit.
Yeah, their leading rusher, Corey Spruill, 6 attempts, 16 yards, a long of 7. That's not going to do anything. 68 total rushing yards in a game of this caliber, in this late of the season, you have to be able to run the ball or set a tone or do something of that manner. And Delaware was just absolutely stifled. And all credit to South Dakota State. They game planned. They were hungry out there. Their defense was phenomenal. They just, as bad as Delaware's defense was, South Dakota State's defense, even better. Or as bad as Delaware's offense was, pardon me. They just showed up when they needed to show up. And that is a very frightening sight, because this is a win that you really, if you're Sam Houston State, that's a win you really hope they didn't have to get right there, because it's going to be a little more fortuitous seeing how hot they were in the semifinals.
Right. And that's a really good point. That was what it was just on the top of my head, is that I really don't know how well Sam Houston's going to stack up against the South Dakota State team. I think that this Jackrabbit squad is a behemoth. This is almost comparable to what we've seen with these North Dakota State squads over the past few years. I don't think it's directly comparable. Last year's Trey Lance team was elite. They were impossible to slow down, and JMU played them close. But I think here, South Dakota State showed us in this game why they were the number one seed, why they are the best team in the country, and why they are the favorite for the national championship, because their defensive line is fantastic. They get after the quarterback. They will completely shut down your rushing game. And then offensively, they don't necessarily throw the ball for like 400 yards. Gronowski's good enough to do it. Gronowski's really fun to watch. He reportedly might be coming on the NFL Draft Prospects podcast, according to Ryan. But you know, in this instance, they run the football so well with Gronowski, with Isaiah Davis, and with Pierre Strong. Isaiah Davis, another player. I know I keep bringing up Ryan, but Ryan says that Isaiah Davis, he thinks he's got a lot of NFL talent. Ryan Roberts says he is NFL talent. And I'm going to bring on Ryan at some point to do
it. I'm going to lose it. You say it one more time. I dare you.
Season preview for the top NFL draft prospects, because he's got a lot of them. Regardless, that three-headed monster, that three-headed rushing attack is impossible to slow down, because you get Gronowski killing you on the ground, and then Isaiah Davis and Pierre Strong both rush for over 70 yards. It's like you try to slow down one guy, the other guy's hot, and then you also have your quarterback who's impossible to tackle.
Yeah, if only somebody had picked Mark Gronowski as their Walter Payton or Jerry Rice, whatever it is, freshman of the year.
He didn't win the award anyways, so.
Well, I back that he should have. He's in the FCS National Championship. Okay. Another protest. No, that's two protests in 8 minutes and 45 seconds of this show that I am now under with the NCAA. Maybe it's just their voters. I don't know. Delaware got blown out. What's the next game, Joe?
Damn, you want to move on that quick? This is what happens when Sean's on a tight schedule, so we have to move on.
Well, this game, we're going to spend, and we could spend an hour talking about.
Yeah, and we're also going to do whatever we can to put out a preview episode. There's a bonus this week for the national championship, but you're referring to Sam Houston, JMU. Sam Houston won this game 38-35. And I was watching this game, and up until halftime, I was thinking, wow, JMU looks great. Looks a little bit like what we've seen in the past, a reason why that they're about to return to yet another national championship. Colin Johnson looked really clean. They were up 27-10 at one point.
And then Sam Houston starts to chip away and chip away, and JMU starts making stupider and stupider mistakes. And ultimately, they lose the game. But there's like, there's so many things that we have to talk about over this track of this game, because JMU leads at halftime, and then we see all these various spots throughout the game where JMU just makes stupid mistakes. Like Colin Johnson, or is it, wait, I don't know why I
have Cole Johnson.
Did I really say Colin? God damn it. Cole Johnson
made
a very egregious error when throwing an interception. There were multiple egregious special teams errors committed by JMU, and that's what led to this outcome.
Joe, have you ever taken a shower and after working out you're like sweaty, and then you leave the shower, you don't feel as clean and you just feel still kind of worked up?
Yeah, you're like, I need to get back in the shower.
Yeah, that's kind of what this game felt like to me. It always felt very restless, especially in the second half. You're like, oh boy, I know I just took a shower, but I do not feel clean. I still feel too hot. I do not feel refreshed. There's some little nipping anxiety that's in the back of my mind. And that's what this game felt like. Because early on, we saw special teams errors. And one of my, it's not a motto, but one of my strong points that I think I've had on this show is that early in seasons, special teams dictates games. And I believe you agree with that, right?
Yes.
I don't know what happened in this game, because we have played a full spring season and now we're in the championship, and it's almost like, it almost looked like a first two games of the season, the way that the special teams on both sides were going about their business. It was just odd that one third of the game for both teams was up in the air. And that is so determinant as how this game ended up. A fumble on the kickoff. I think there were like two blocked punts. Punt return touchdown. The special teams determined this game. They're both roaring offenses, strong defenses, all of that. Special teams won the game for Sam Houston State. They just did. I don't know what to make of that. How do you, as a coach for Sam Houston State this next week, do you hammer down, getting past South Dakota State's defense, right? Or do you hammer down special teams given the amount of errors that you had and won on, regardless? It is such an odd thing to see that happen. Maybe we've seen in the NFL playoffs and all college playoffs, sometimes a special teams play will win or lose a game, right? This was too many to really put a nail in the coffin and say, okay, it was just a freak play. Too many. I don't know what to make of it.
And the one play that irked me the most, and you even said to me, ignore that. Don't even look at that play. You don't even want to see it.
Oh, boy.
Ethan Radke's missed field goal with limited time left in the fourth quarter. Not even close. And the reason why that really dug down into me, not just because I'm a long snapper, but the fact that Radke, who's been an All-American, an All-Conference kicker at JMU his whole career, when the lights are on in the most important part, what the hell was that? Mm. My guy, you're expected to be one of the best kickers in the country. And you can't kick look, I get it. It was a long field goal. I don't remember the exact yardage. It is not an easy circumstance because it is a long field goal. But for you to miss that badly and to not be that far off from the distance, are you kidding me? That's completely ridiculous that he missed that kick. It pisses me off that he's continuously recognized as one of the best kickers in the country. He was even named first team all American by Stats FCS, and he couldn't make the most important kick of his career. Like, what the hell?
It wasn't even like a Scott Norwood, and I hate beating up on kickers because their jobs are sneakily one of the hardest. It's such a simple duty, but what positions have more straight on pressure, just straight up pressure?
Well, that's what pisses me off with kickers is guys will be consistent throughout their career, but in situations like this where you're asked to kick a long field goal is when most guys that have all these accolades crumble, and it just so happens that Radke is one of them.
Like, Scott Norwood missed the goalpost by about a foot, right, Joe? Against the Bills. Or against the Giants. Radke missed by, like, two full goalposts. I don't know if it was the hold. I don't know if it was the wind, the alignment of him. It was it looked like he had the leg too. I don't know if he just yanked it trying to get it there. It was not a pretty kick, and I can see how that would irritate you a little bit.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to talk about with this game, Jaquez Ezard, hat off to him, man. This game was won not solely off of his efforts, but two plays that Jaquez Ezard made in this performance are the reason why Sam Houston won. I'm referring to that long touchdown reception where he weaved his way in and out of tacklers, and then the punt return. You and I were both in awe over this punt return when we went and rewatched the clips of this game. And, man, I can't even tell you how fast he is because he's taller, he's got long legs, and it's almost like what you said, the Cordell Patterson effect, where he's just moving so fluidly and he's getting upfield so quickly, you don't even think he's moving that fast, but he's weaving and cutting and blowing past everybody. And that punt return touchdown, I think, was, well, first of all, that touchdown reception was the turning point. That was when it was 27-10. It becomes 27-17.
And then immediately after JMU fumbled that kickoff.
They fumbled the kickoff, and then a little bit down the line, Jaquez Ezard, the punt return. That was the next biggest play in the game. And I think all of that combined makes it very clearly that Ezard is going to be an X factor in the national championship game.
He won 100%. Well, very impressive. And then if we're patting guys on the back, Ezard was, this was a game where he put himself on the spotlight a little bit. You know, that's something that teams are going to take notice of. They just will. For JMU, though, also, Percy Ajayi-Obese, I don't know. He just, it doesn't take, you can't tackle him with one tackler. We saw it the entire game. It was, okay, I'm going to go for 6 yards, you're going to arm tackle me, and I'm going to fall forward for another two after another guy has to come and try to tackle me. He is just very, very impressive. 24 yards, or 24 attempts, 98 yards. You said he was going to get drafted. I can believe it. I can buy it. He is like, almost, I don't know, his build reminds me a little bit of Ronald Jones, that type of running back where he's just going to pound it. And it's just, I don't know, we played against him, we saw him. He was just very, very, he always seems calm when he's running the ball. Very, runs hard, but also very calm. I don't know, he just looks very composed, and that's important to me.
So last piece, and we're going to end up, if we manage to sneak in a preview episode, which I think that we will make an effort to do so, I'm legitimately worried about Eric Schmid and his ability to compete against this South Dakota State defense, because him throwing the football, two picks, some of his decision making was highly questionable. What has aided Sam Houston thus far offensively has been their skill position players. And also, Schmid is a hell of a runner. He's a great athlete. He scored two rushing touchdowns. He's not easy to tackle. But
11 for 55, two touchdowns.
Right. But what worries me, Sean, and I think you could agree, is that if you ask Schmid to drop back more and you can play good contain, which South Dakota State is going to be able to do that. Their defensive line is good enough to do that. I don't know. I think that is a legitimate concern for Sam Houston.
It will be, primarily because South Dakota State's linebackers, they have a way of getting linebackers that are more modern, like Roseboom last year, and then who else was it back there? He wore number 7. He was phenomenal. Their linebacking core, they fly around, and they are a mobile quarterback's worst nightmare, because they're not going to just let you go. They're going to be able to wrap up and tackle you. And Schmidt is going to have to be very selective on when he's going to run. Sometimes you have to run. The pocket breaks down in the first quarter of this JMU Sam Houston State game. It looked like both of the offensive lines were getting overwhelmed from the outsides, and there was a good interior push for both teams, causing both Johnson and Schmid to have to roll out a lot and scramble for about 8-10 yards. They did it. You know, they're good enough athletes to do so, but South Dakota State is not a team that is going to let you go for 8 yards. They are going to stop you for 2, and they are going to thump you. And Schmid and the Sam Houston State offense, they're going to have to find a way to, maybe they got to get tricky with it. You know, trick plays, get gutsy. That's what they have to do. You throw the ball deep, throw it short. I don't know. You just have to find a way to beat that front 7, because South Dakota State's corners also, good corners. It's a loaded defense. And they were so quietly loaded all year also, because we had been lauding Delaware's defense all year. And look what they did to them. Delaware's defense couldn't stop a nosebleed against South Dakota State.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, Sean, we're going to end up trying to preview the national championship game. As I said, we'll do a short show on that. And so you folks have something to prepare yourselves for if you want to have a full understanding of what to expect from that game. But before we end up wrapping up today's show, though, with FC estimates, I just want to talk a little bit about the Stats FCS All-American list that was recently released. And we're not going to go too crazy in depth here. If you want to find that, head to Stats FCS for the full list. But some of the things that already stand out to me makes a ton of sense seeing these first-team running backs, Percy Ajayi-Obese, Julius Chestnut, Otis Way.
My guy.
I think there's a perfect grouping there. Tyler Hudson, Central Arkansas, and Jacob Harries. I can't think of two better receivers making that spot there. And then the offensive line's pretty stacked. We have Burkhalter, we've got Himmelman, we've got Cordell Volson, we've got Ty Whitworth.
Trey Berry at tight end. I remember we previewed him last spring.
The only thing that's a little bit odd for me, so why did we include Robert Rochelle on the DB list, but Trey Lance doesn't make it at quarterback? I know that Central Arkansas played more games. Like, there's, I don't know. I just don't know why Rochelle's on here when he's on the Rams now. He played in the fall.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the spring. This should be a spring list.
I'm not sure either. It doesn't look like in this description that they put before the lists why they chose to. That's a little off for me. Also, I didn't even notice that until you brought it up. He should be first team. Maybe they just. I mean, I'm not seeing any other North Dakota State teams. Maybe it's because they only played one game. Maybe there was like, oh no, wait, Cordell Volson. Okay, this is a little odd.
Right, I can't think of anybody else circumstantially that. Well,
Hunter
Cordell
Lepke.
Volson went back.
North Dakota State. Yeah, that's.
But those guys played during the spring. I can't think of anybody else that played in the fall and then declared. Robert and played like a half that half season.
So maybe it was like a 6-game minimum.
I just don't know why we're including the fall. I don't understand why that's being even factored in. That's where I'm a little bit hung up, and I'm sure we would instantly get an explanation from Craig Haley, but I don't know. I think that those were two completely different seasons. I don't really consider them to be lumped together.
I agree. But as I'm looking over this list, though, it looks like aside from that one odd gaffe, looks right. It looks like everything is kind of how it should be. Players that are first team, and they have earned it. As we've tracked them and analyzed them and gone over them for however many years, that they're on that first team list for a reason. I cannot deny them that.
Right. And last little piece that I take away here, D'Angelo Wilson, second team wide receiver, Austin Peay. That immediately stood out to me seeing his name because he announced that he is transferring. So very, very talented receiver, is probably going to get picked up by a team that wants a speedy, quick player that's going to plug right into their offense. And I'm that's a guy that I'm going to be monitoring to see where he lands. Because, like I said, somebody's going to get a very, very good receiver, whoever lands D'Angelo Wilson.
Oh, yeah. He's going to turn an offense around. If it was an offense that was struggling or if it was a good, prolific offense, he's going to give them a big, big burst.
Yeah, exactly. So, to wrap up, FC Estimates is done. It's over with. It's kaput. Because I picked South Dakota State. I got that one right. And Sean picked Sam Houston. I was almost 2-for-2 and tied it up, but I am not afforded that. JMU blew it for me, so I am not going to get anything. So, Sean, go ahead, get it out. You beat me. It's over. There's no way for me to come back. What do you just say it?
I'm just going to sit here for, just give me about 10 seconds. I'm just going to not say anything.
No.
I'm going to go 10 seconds and just look.
No, no, nope, no. We're gonna do dead air. We're gonna do dead air because you are. I'll end the show right now if you don't start talking,
in. It's such a great sight for me to look at. Standings: Joe 48, Sean 52. I believe I made a triumphant comeback this season, or was it or was I always in the lead? I cannot remember. I'm just so used to winning. I didn't know if it was an early comeback, and I just stormed ahead and just. I know you tried to make a big push, but you just kept on folding, and I just kept on trusting the teams that I knew were going to win.
No. So is won this year. You won this year. That's it.
So what's the overall standings between us? Because this is 3 years that we've been doing the show, correct? Or is it two?
Technically three seasons, because we did the 2019 season. We tracked the 2020 fall season and then this season. So I'm up 2-1 in the standings.
Oh, because did you win the fall?
Yeah, I won the fall. I kicked your ass.
I need a recount.
Go look at the notes. Go look at the show notes. It's in the award show.
I want a recount.
There is no goddamn recount. I beat you fair and square on that one. So you can eat it.
Why
that.
Are we not making 2020 to 2020? Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to take my win.
Wait, were you just asking if we could lump the whole season in together?
I took that back, as I only won by 4 games. I think I might have lost by more than that in the fall.
Yeah, if you put those together, you want to put them together?
No, I'm going to take my win.
I think we shouldn't.
I'm going to take my win, and I'm going to just tuck it away under my arm. I'm going to sit here. Give me another 5 seconds so I can look at it.
No. Okay. So, Sean, let's pick the national champ. Actually, you know what? We'll wait. We're gonna hold ourselves accountable here. We're gonna pick the national champions during the preview show. Is that fair, Sean?
Sounds
I'm gonna
good
end
to
the show. Okay, I was gonna say I'm gonna end.
I was waiting for you to pass it to me.
Okay.
Why are you screaming at me?
That's bull.
You're such a sore loser. That's what you
I,
are.
I
you
am
are
not
sour
a sore
grapes.
Loser. I am not a sore loser. You're just pissing me off right now.
Do you want some whimper with that wine?
Follow us on social media.
Is there cheese with that wine?
The reason why we're not going to Frisco is Sean's fault. Follow us on social media at Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Believe Podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review. That's it, folks. We're going to get that preview to you. Stay tuned for that and enjoy the national championship this weekend.
Winner out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.